from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to episode 128 of Dads from the Crypt, Tales from the Crypt podcast. Formerly Tales from the Crypt podcast.
Yeah, so are we still technically a Tales from the Crypt podcast? I mean,
Tales from the Crypt in our hearts.
Yeah, 120 of our back episodes are all mainly Tales from the Crypt. So,
yeah, no, I think, and as we saw in our fabulous interview with Joe Lynch, you know, we'll still be doing like Tales related, you know, content, you know, as we can. Anyone that wants to talk Tales from the Crypt, we'll talk to them. You know, obviously there's nothing quite new happening, but if anybody wants to talk about their favorite episodes, yada yada yada, I want to make that like kind of an ongoing thing.
Cool.
But tonight we have a very special guest. His name is Levi. Welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. On the previous episode, I can't remember because I have a shitty memory, but you were on, was it Stared in Horror? I feel like that was it.
I was on the Monkey's Paw episode, and then the William Friedkin episode.
Oh, on the Dead Man's Chest?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Cool. Well, why don't you tell us about yourself and about your latest project?
Okay, so my name's Levi. I'm based out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. So my brother and I saved up for years to buy a very expensive camera, one that we saw that the original couple who made Lights Out was using for their shorts. Mm-hmm. And we set a goal, and we met that goal during the pandemic. And once we had the camera, we started developing sort of a team of people that we knew and trusted. From our college days, they were all film students or theater students at the University of Central Arkansas or the University of Arkansas here in Fayetteville. And we reached out to them and asked if they'd be serious in helping us make a handful of projects. And, surprisingly, they all were. And so we started writing scripts, and I came to my group with a couple of scripts, and they said yes. And I was shocked, but we went forward with it, and we just released on YouTube our latest film called Madness Within. It's under Nowhere Now Productions on YouTube. It's also under Nowhere Now Productions on Instagram. And this is our third short film. Only one other one is available right now. The second one is about to do the festival circuit, so we can't put it on YouTube yet. So we're excited for people to watch that. It did a festival circuit. It was nominated for best horror short at the Texas Short Film Festival.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we're proud of that one. Yeah.
Your newest one?
Yeah, the new one. Nice. Yes. Yeah, Madness Within. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, and we're in pre-production on our next one as well. So we're keeping the ball rolling.
Now, I haven't seen the other two, but are these part of like some sort of shared story universe type of thing?
No, so I'm a big Stephen King, Lovecraft nerd. They all take place in the same town. But they are not related hardly in any way, shape or form other than they take place in the same town. So
nice. Yeah.
No, I mean, Madness Within was really good. I really enjoyed it. You know, I know a lot of our listeners also listen to Bloody Good Horror, and I know Eric talked about it as well, but I really enjoy a good short film. I think the barrier to entry is can be low, so you get a lot of crummy ones. But like when they're curated, I really enjoy that. I used to go to a film festival when I was up in Portland for the Undead Film Festival, and they would have like 3 2-hour blocks. The first 2 hours was always short films, and then they play like two movies.
And yeah.
I usually enjoyed I almost always enjoy the short films section because it's just so surprising and, you know, there's so much creativity you can get through. So I really love a good short film like that. And I really enjoyed yours. It looks great. Well, however much you're on the camera, it looks really, really professional. It's shot.
Thank you.
And edited well. Like, sometimes you see projects and you can tell that they're still kind of figuring it out, but this looked way more professional.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, together we've made, I mean, if you count everybody that's involved, we've been involved with hundreds of films. So we know what we're doing. Our cinematographer is an Emmy Award winner.
Oh, wow.
His name's Eric White. So, but he's based out of Little Rock, but we all, you know, we all meet in the middle somewhere, you know, and work it out. And usually we only have a weekend to shoot. So that, you know, time crunch really breeds creativity in a interesting way. And so, that's also fun. Well, we really enjoy it.
Like if you showed me the main scene in that and told me it was a part of a network TV show, I'd be like, okay, I want to see the rest.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. Thanks. That's awesome. Yeah, well, I'm glad you like it. Man. That's cool.
I'm gonna be honest. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list. I have it saved in my watch later queue on YouTube. I've just been really busy with work, and Jason keeps us busy.
Right? Jason? Oh yeah, cool. No worries.
But I'll definitely watch it. I love short film because I think you get especially I've noticed lately there are some movies I've seen, full length movies, that I always think at the end this would be better as part of an anthology or better as a short because they had a really great idea and they stretched it so thin to try to get that runtime out of it. Whereas I love kind of the compactness of a really good short film where it's just constantly hitting you. The good ones will still breathe and still gives you a chance to breathe and all that. But it seems like when you have a great idea and can compact it into that time frame, some good stuff comes out.
Yeah.
When
a filmmaker has the freedom to make it as short or as long as they feel like they need to.
Yeah. It's, I mean, a lot of our favorite, y'all know this, a lot of our favorite directors got started doing short films, you know, or anthology films. It's just, it's a quick way to get a mood across, a feeling across, to kind of show that you know what you're doing or you can play a lot more. I feel like, you know, you can get away with a lot more, you know, I guess strange, playful things with a short film, and especially in our favorite genre, the horror genre. So
I look at it almost like a demo in music. Yeah. Whereas I don't know how major labels do things nowadays, but back in the day, you had to make a demo and send it off to labels. And that was kind of, I think short films sometimes, it can be great. I mean, but some of those demos are fantastic. And I think that's a thing with short film. You brought up Lights Out, and that was a short film those guys did, a labor of love that turned into a studio saw it and was like, let's give these guys money to make to flesh their idea out. So I'm a big fan. I like the short film format.
Actually, we're about to get into it, that the episode that we're going to review tonight, they actually optioned to be a film. And they were trying for like a long time. But,
I read that actually. There was a way longer version of the script. So
and actually they just announced that another episode of Black Mirror is going to be made into a whole new series itself. So it's very fertile ground.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
All right. So again, remind people where they can find it, what's it called on YouTube?
The film's called Madness Within. You can go to Nowhere Now Productions on YouTube and you'll find our first ever short film on there. You'll find the trailer for Madness Within and you'll find Madness Within. The other film's called Flight, FLIGHT.
Nice. All right. Well, good luck with that on the film circuit.
Thanks.
Tonight, we are talking about Black Mirror, Season 1, Episode 3, The Entire History of You. It was released on December 18th, 2011. Unfortunately, Jody cannot be with us tonight, so I get the pleasure of doing the plot synopsis. Mm-hmm. And I am reading it off of IMDb, so we'll see how this goes. All right. Lawyer Liam attends a performance appraisal. Antagonizing over it, he repeatedly watches the, quote, redo on his grain, which is an implant which records footage from his eyes and ears. Arriving at a dinner party for his wife, I'm just going to call her Fionn. Is that correct? The spelling is a little unique. We'll call her Fionn. Yeah. And so Fionn and her friends. He finds Fionn laughing with Jonas. Throughout dinner, Liam scrutinizes Fionn's reactions to Jonas, whose engagement recently ended. Another guest talks about how she lacks a grain after being gouged. An attacker cut into her skin behind her right ear to steal her memories. Improper removal of the grain can lead the victim to blindness. Liam invites Jonas to his and Fiona's house, but then remembers that how late it is, and Jonas leaves. Fiona invites the babysitter, Gina, who was looking after their daughter, to sleep upstairs. Liam asks Fiona about Jonas, and she identifies him as a brief paramour from Marrakesh. She says they dated for a month, but Liam shows a memory of her saying that she dated Mr. Marrakesh for a week. The discussion becomes heated, and Fiona references Liam's former obsession over another man, Dan. And Liam calls Fiona a bitch. They recall, they reconcile and have sex while watching memories of their past sexual encounters. Afterwards, Liam goes downstairs and drinks copiously while watching redos of the dinner party. When Gina awakens, Liam asks for her opinion on the memories. Embarrassed, Fiona gets Gina to leave. Liam interrogates Fiona further. She now says that her relationship with Jonas lasted 6 months. Liam drives to Jonas's house, ignoring his car's warnings that drunkenness invalidates his insurance. Jonas is unhappy to see him, acting aggressively. Liam refuses to leave and hits Jonas in a tussle. Hallam, the girl who had her grain forcibly removed, had apparently spent the night with him, and she calls the police. Liam wakes in his car, which is crashed into a tree, and replays his memories.
Real quick, the piece they left out there that was kind of important to the plot is that he threatens to kill him with a broken bottle and makes him erase the memories that he had of that the fling he had with his wife.
Yeah. Okay, so after crashing his car, Liam replays the memories of the night before. It says that now. Assaulting Jonas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Recorded
memories, yada, yada, yada. Liam spots Jonas's memory of Fiona in bed. He asks Fiona about it. She lies at every step until Liam presses her further. After Liam left home over an argument about Dan, Fiona had drunken sex with Jonas around the time that their daughter was conceived. Aggressively, Liam demands to replace the memory, and she does. Later, in the empty house, Liam rewatches memory of Fiona and his daughter. He uses a razor blade and tweezers to remove his grain, and the screen cuts to black as he pulls it out.
Ooh.
All right. Dum, dum, dum. Levi, you're our guest. You can start us off. What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked this. I remember first watching this, like, God, it was like 10 years ago, I think. And really loving the first season of Black Mirror. Like, hadn't really seen anything like it. Kind of, you know, right off the bat reminded me of Twilight Zone, but way darker. But this particular episode's really tragic. In a way that's, like, you see couples around you that you can tell are not on good terms, and it's kind of hard to watch. This kind of felt that way. It's really intimate. The performances are great. It's weird how in this society, everyone sucks, basically. There's no privacy, and everyone's just kind of cool with that, even for, like, job interviews, you know, and The 911 call really got me when she said, I don't have a chip, so I can't send you the recording, and they just hang up on her. So it just shows you how, like, twisted this society is and how obsessive everyone is. And of course that's commentary on society today, even 10 years ago. And yeah, I just found it sort of tragic. It's got this Hitchcock feel where there's a bomb under the table, mm-hmm. you know, and we all know it. We can all tell. There's little signs throughout that Fiona has definitely slept with Jonas, and they were together probably for a while and probably still have a thing. So as the audience, you know what's probably coming, and the inevitable is going to come, and it sort of feels like fate when that happens. And I love horror that does that. You know, you kind of, the protagonist is trying to avoid their certain fate, and in the long run, all of their attempts to avoid it are futile. So yeah, I really liked the episode. The only thing I wouldn't like is I didn't know who to root for because they all sucked. So
yeah,
that's my only complaint. But I really like this episode a lot. The performances again are great. And the guy who plays Liam has a really punchable face, which works for the character.
He does.
Him mm-hmm. and Jonas, I'll say, are very punchable.
They do. They both do. Yeah, yeah.
Mondo.
I'm with you on this one. And I think that was the toughest part for me, too, is everyone was pretty terrible. And from the way Liam and Fionn are, the way they interact with each other is not like how two loving people should interact with each other. When he and how uncomfortable was it when he called her a bitch and she starts replaying him calling her a bitch? I'm like, oh, you're never getting over that one, right? And as far as like the social commentary on it, it's you mentioned it came out over 10 years ago. And it's pretty crazy that we've gone to a point where we're it's like people watch Black Mirror and are trying to steer society in that direction, because everyone's on there. Everyone's got a camera, right? You see it, something tragic happened. And it's crazy to me. I think there was a video of like a fire or tidal wave, and someone's like taking their time videotaping it while they're being told to leave. And it's like, it's more important to them to get that video and put it on the internet than it is to save their own lives or save the. Nothing pisses me off more than when I see a kid interacting with an animal and the animal like a cat swats the kid, and you hear, and I'm like, a parent is holding the camera. At what point do you say stop that? Because we're so obsessed as a society about getting on the internet, and I'll see things in public and see people recording themselves in public. Like, would you do that if a camera wasn't on you? And I really think we're kind of getting to a point with that where you can buy eyeglasses now that record what you're watching. And I think that was one of the scariest parts about it, to the fact that like you could have your entire life just in your brain that you could play back at any moments. And if you guys have anxiety like I do, I'd be the guy in bed at 2 a.m. replaying the time I told a teacher I love her in elementary school. So that's pretty bad. But this episode overall, it's really uncomfortable. And intentionally uncomfortable. It's meant to feel uncomfortable because everyone's probably had that moment in life where they've been to a dinner party or been out with their friends and one of the couples fighting. And it's just like, why are you guys hanging out with us right now? Can you go somewhere else? Because it's that tension. It's a really great tense episode. So I was definitely a big fan of this. But like you said, I really wish... And kind of you talked about the foreshadowing, and I love the foreshadowing because as a viewer, I know what's going to happen, but I'm still hoping that I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that like something's redeeming. I'm almost hoping this guy goes off the deep end for all the wrong reasons, but then he goes off the deep end and you find out she was not a good person to him. Mm-hmm. Potentially, they never resolve whether the daughter was his or not.
Right.
And as a father, that would be utterly heartbreaking. To find out this thing you've loved and not saying like, if I somehow, granted, I know for a fact my daughter's mine because she looks like me and we did 23andMe. So, I would never say I wouldn't stop loving the child, but it would definitely be like an emotional blow that I don't know if I could recover from in a positive way. You know what I mean? Like it would definitely always be in the back of my brain in a negative way. So I felt his pain in all this. But still, one thing I'll say is a dad advice commentary. It's the way these people interact with each other is not how a healthy relationship should work. And I am not the best communicator. It's not the one to talk. But the one thing I don't do is call my wife a name. like the one thing I don't do is call any. I think the minute you start calling your significant other a name or screaming at them, I feel like you've lost control of the situation. And like. It's crazy to me how I'll see people in relationships, and I don't mean to get off the episode here, that'll talk to each other so terribly. I'm thinking, if we were we're friends, and if you talked to me like that, I wouldn't be your friend anymore.
Right.
So this is a great blueprint on how not to treat people with that Black Mirror element of, man, like this might be where society's going with our surveillance state. As a guy that works in the surveillance industry, it's a surveillance state, dude. Like,
yeah.
If you're somewhere, someone's watching you. Or you're being recorded.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of looking at the three episodes of Black Mirror for this first season, it's interesting because the first one is like very near future. Like this is something that we're pretty much at now, from the technology we had in the first episode. The second one was like kind of more of a what if, like kind of like far more hard sci-fi scenario. Where this one is like more middle ground, where it's like, I don't think this is a tech kind of technology like with implants and like being able to recall stuff that cool. I don't think that'll ever really happen, but it's still within our world. So it's kind of the three different flavors of, I think, what Black Mirror does. Yeah, this one is like fascinatingly heartbreaking. I mean, it really brings up like the, would you really want to be able to recall memories like that? Like, yeah, if your wife told you to pick up a couple of things from the grocery store and you forgot one of them, it'd be cool to be able to like rewind and see what they said. Or like, you know, you're in a car accident and you need to like prove who was at fault.
Dave Chappelle is problematic, but it reminds me of, he did a skit back when he was doing the Chappelle Show with the stenographer, the courtroom stenographer following you around. And that's what this reminded me of.
I mean, we've all been in the conversations, we're having an argument and you're like, damn it, I wish I had a recording of that. I think there's even like a commercial, I can't remember what it was for, but where they like can throw a challenge flag and then they get under the hood and they replay it.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a common thing of like, yeah, it would be nice in certain scenarios. Like even at work, you know, I take screenshots all the time of like conversations or like over like when I'm doing like a testing on stuff, I'll like record it so I can prove that it's either working or that's not working. Cause you know, I might tell my IT builder that like, oh, this wasn't working. And they're like, what do you mean it's not working? That's not possible. I'm like, well, here's the video. Mm-hmm. So again, that's kind of a thing where, you know, it's nice to have, but on the other hand, to have it all the time for every single thing is a really, might not be as good of a thing. And one of the things, again, reading the IMDb, and I kind of noticed while watching, is that when they start replaying conversations, it's not the same as what we saw as an objective viewer. So it's not that it's recording like a video recorder, it's more accessing memories.
I didn't even pick that up. That's good.
So, yeah. So even what he's watching isn't completely the truth. I mean, he's watching, it's like a memory of a memory. It's like a mirror, a black mirror, if you one might say. And even like, again, while they're kind of winding down the episode and he's kind of making accusations and things, you're really hoping that like somehow it's they're going to make and everything. But then, oh, no, they go back to their memories and he's able to prove it again. It's almost like a detective, like obsessively. And it's not that he's not wrong, but he's just so wrapped up in it. And he's just pushing himself off a cliff.
I think before even he suspects, like it's at the beginning, it almost feels like his girlfriend's not allowed to have male friends because he's jealous.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels like at the beginning. And then you see that, oh, well, his accusations against this guy are warranted, but he just doesn't go about it the right way at the beginning to have those conversations.
He's obviously toxic in his own way.
Yeah.
All three of the main people here are toxic, in their own different ways, in their own bubbles. But again, yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't see this might be the best of the three. It's not my favorite, just as like, it's just so awkward and kind of hard and cringy, like in like a way that's intentional. Like they're intentionally putting you through it. And I really appreciate that in art, but it's just hard to watch.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So this is directed by Brian Welsh. He did a lot of British stuff that I don't recognize. I don't have anything like that's crossed into our stream. Liam, he was in he's played a lot of monkeys, or he's in a lot of monkey related things. He was in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, as Kobo in some of the other Apes movies. He was in Kong Skull Island.
Was he Kong?
No. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Jodie Whittaker, she was in Attack the Block, and she was obviously the new Doctor in Doctor Who. And Tom Collin, who plays Jonas, was a regular in Downton Abbey for a little while. So again, spectacular cast. You know, it's, I feel like you really buy into these characters. Yeah.
I love Attack the Block, by the way.
Attack the Block is
Attack the Block movie. Is great. That's one of the I slept on that one for so long and then finally watched it. And I was like, I was so like, why have I not watched this 10 times?
It's, I know. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
But yeah, I did think it was interesting that the car could tell that he was drunk and invalidated his insurance.
Yeah. So this thing like is part of every aspect of life. That's you. And the fact that you're socially ostracized if you try to escape that is pretty scary, you know.
Right. Or it's weird. He's at his job interview, and they're like, "Well, we're just going to look at your recordings to see how
you." Yeah, you think about it though, right? There are definitely everyone's probably seen their friend post something on social media and be like, "Yeah, dude, you need to delete that," because I know employers do go through social media a lot of times and look at people's social media to see the character of the person they're hiring. And the car thing reminded me of insurance companies now want you to install that little device in your car, which is going to save you $40 a month on your car insurance, yet it somehow never does. I refuse to do that because I had a friend of mine that did it and said it beeps every time they think you brake too hard. He goes, he said he was getting to a point where he wasn't braking in time because he had a Pavlovian response to not want to hear that beep.
I've never heard of this. What is it?
So, like Progressive does it, where you can get a little device that plugs into your car. I forgot what the reader is where they put like a code reader in your car. And it tracks your driving, and they say, "Oh, if you're a great driver, then you can save. We'll give you a cheaper rate." But I think my buddy said like over the course of 6 months, they told him at the very end he wasn't a safe enough driver, and they gave him $1 off his 6 month premium. So 15 cents a month, 16 cents a month.
I thought it was like a breathalyzer or something.
No, there are people that have to have those in their cars though.
Yeah,
if you have to have a breathalyzer in your car, you probably earned it.
Yeah,
like, it takes a couple DUIs to get that. Like if you didn't learn after the first one, like not saying anyone DUIs are good at all, but if you didn't learn after the first one, like fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, and again, in this universe, you gotta imagine that like if people are policing themselves and there's that level of surveillance, the state must be beyond. And actually, we see that because he goes to the airport, and there's like a special line for people that will let them look at their redo or whatever the thing is called.
Yeah.
You know, like search to make sure you didn't like interact with any known criminals. I was assuming that's what it was doing, or you're not, weren't like, there was no objectionable actions in your last 48 hours or whatever it was.
Which that kind of exists with TSA pre-check and global entry now, where you have to do a little interview before they'll put the stamp on you and say, yeah, this person can be a known traveler. They call you a known traveler once you get that. Yeah, I have a number and everything. I have a known traveler number.
I just know, like, as a person with anxiety who was, like, highly insecure in his teenage years and into my 20s, like, you kind of overplay things in your head. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes if something happens at work that I wish I didn't do or could have changed, I'll replay that moment for some reason. And so I tried to like look up why that is, and apparently our brain like releases a little bit of dopamine when we get sad or we get upset, and so your brain can actually like be hardwired to want that, and that's you like overplaying the situation over and over in your head, you know, and that this kind of was commentary on that, and that really hit me like in the chest. So
that's interesting. Yeah,
replaying their trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you want to distill this episode down, it's more like how much personal freedom are you willing to give, you know, for that ability to be able to, you know, relive your memories, or like, you know, it's always the question. If you're willing to give up your liberty, do you deserve your liberty? That kind of thing.
Yeah. That's interesting because we do, you know, as a country or society, we do often trade freedom for illusion of security. And I'm not talking about these patriots who want to be patriot assholes that think they're patriots, but they're terrible human beings. But there is something to it, right? Whereas, I mean, TSA is a great example of that for 9/11, and they put all these rules in place, and all it does is make the lines longer. It doesn't really stop anybody, right? But people are willing to give away a little bit of freedom for that, whatever it is.
I think it's convenience, really.
It's convenience. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But like, yeah, if you have a smartphone or pretty much any phone now, you have a GPS that's tracking you.
Oh, dude, or an Alexa. Like, remember back in the day, people were like, "Don't bring a microphone in your house because it's going to track you." And now people, nowadays, People are like, hey, government spy device, order me dog food.
Yeah, I mean, now we like invite it into our homes in every room and like pay, yeah. we pay to be under surveillance.
I believe me, I'm not like calling anybody out on that. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Like, I mean,
it's more of a societal contract we've made that like this is the level that we're all okay with.
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of spying if it means I can order dog food easier. Like, why not?
Yeah.
or an Alexa knows I need socks. Like, yeah, come on, man, just give me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, how well could you function without your little device? It's like,
I actually don't have an Alexa. I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
Well, I mean, you have an iPhone or whatever.
I do.
Yeah, the Siri thing and all that. Yeah.
I know my iPhone's listening to me because the other day I was just telling Kel, I was like, hey, Mac, you get my knees banged up in jiu-jitsu. Maybe I should get a knee brace. And I shit you not. I went on social media and immediately Anaconda knee braces kept popping up. Two for $60.
I hate it.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to order them.
They know. It's ridiculous.
An interesting thing in my job, you know, we have a Teams chat, different Teams chat for different groups. And like my mini team that I'm a part of, everyone likes to say, I'm going to lunch. And I just refuse to do that. I don't know. It's like, I don't need to be kept tracked of or like, you know, if I'm going to lunch like early or late, I'll tell them. But if I'm going to lunch at noon, I don't need to announce it.
Well, it's just, when I used to work at Apple, our days were so structured, as in, because we had appointment system, we had to keep taking customers in and getting computers fixed and stuff. So if you take your break late or take your lunch late and threw the entire day off, and I didn't realize how much it's a love hate. Cause one is usually the schedule makes sure you get your shit in, but it's so nice in my current job to where like, I can just kind of show up in the office whenever I want, leave whenever I want. Mm-hmm. They treat you like an adult. It's a nice, nice little thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I try to find a balance of that where if I'm going to be out of the ordinary, I'll tell them, but like, I'm not going to announce myself I'm going to lunch. I don't know. That just feels weird to me.
I do, but only because my office is so small. Like, if there's so few people there. So if you announce you're going to lunch, so someone else goes to lunch, they know to lock the door. That's the only reason you're doing it.
But again, when I'm working from home, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. If you're working from home, like.
Yeah.
I'll tell my wife, hey, I'm gonna go grab some lunch. I'll tell my dogs, hey, I'm. But that's about it.
If there was some responsibility to it, yeah, of course I would. But I don't need to announce it. That feels weird. Like people that like turn on their tracking for their spouse on their phone, like GPS, so you can see where your spouse is on the way home.
My wife and I do that, but I don't think there's anything weird about that as long as you're not abusing it. As in, it's more so like, you know, I travel a lot for work, and if it's taking me a long time to get home from the side, I'm just, you know, from California or something, she likes to be able to just to see that I'm okay. I'm on the road, I'm driving, you know, and it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that just feels weird to just have your partner tracking. Like,
I think
for me,
it depends, man. It depends. Like, I think everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different. So I'm not going to, but my child does it too, because it's one of those things where it's like, if someone happens to you, I want to know the last place you were so I can come and start killing people.
Jiu-jitsuing them to death.
I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to fucking sit on my ass and butt scoot towards them and allow them to come into my death trap.
All right. Any final thoughts on this episode?
It's kind of hard to watch. Like you guys were saying, but it does stick with you. As soon as I started the episode, I remembered what this was again. So it definitely sticks with you. I'll say that.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably the most emotionally affecting of the first three, but it's also like the hardest to watch. So like, I'm okay only watching this like every 10 years. The first one, I think it's just so funny and so like move. It's just so entertaining.
Yeah.
I can watch that much more often. The second one, again, it goes a little bit long for me, but yeah. Okay. Let's do our rating out of 5. Levi, what do you give this episode?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Again, it's really solid. These first three, like you said, are kind of like it's like their spectrum of Black Mirror. This is like kind of my favorite spectrum, where it's hard to watch and sort of heartbreaking. That's kind of my favorite. people know me. I like darker endings that smack in the face. St. Maude. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. Yeah.
All right, Manda.
I'll go a little bit higher. It's actually my least favorite of the three we've watched, but that by no means is that a bad thing. Right. Like you guys both mentioned, it's very uncomfortable to sit through. Well, when I watch it, I don't think I was in the best mental place, and that's also was not probably the best time to watch it, because I did not remember this episode at all. And it hit me really, really hard, because I was like, ugh. Like, now I feel even shittier.
Damn.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think I watched it, though, on Sunday. And then the Niners won, so fucking go Niners. So it made it all better.
Did you give your number?
What's that?
Did you give a number?
Oh, no, I did not yet. 4.5.
All right. I just 5. I think.
Damn, is that 3 5s?
No, I was lower on the other one, the second one. I think it's masterfully acted, masterfully directed. It's thought provoking. It makes you feel, gives you all the feels. I might not like how I feel, but it's an honest feeling. It's not cheap. So I think for what it's trying to do, it succeeds, you know, perfectly. So again, it might not be one I go to very often just because it's not enjoyable on the quote enjoyable. But again, it makes you think and it makes you feel, and that's, I think, what the point of the show is. So, so I gave the first one a 5. I gave this one a 5. I think I gave the last one a 4.5, just because it went a little bit long.
Everyone should watch this, but don't watch it if, like, you're sad or you stubbed your toe. You had a bad day.
Yeah, you just went through a breakup. You know, I wouldn't watch it.
Have a bowl of ice cream with you.
I'm diabetic, Jason. You trying to kill me?
You eat like Halo ice cream.
Sometimes. Some of my stuff has a lot of sugar in it, even though it says it doesn't.
And
they use sugar alcohols. You know what those do to your stomach?
Oh, yeah.
It's not good.
Can't imagine. No.
All right. Mondo, give us your song of the day.
Alrighty, so again, this is a very depressing episode, so I have a very depressing song, and it popped in. I was actually just driving home from the gym before we did this, so please, people, don't watch this episode on video, because my hair's all fucked up, my face is all fucked up from the gym, and I haven't showered yet, so I'm probably getting a staph infection as we speak.
You still got those beautiful eyes, so don't worry about it.
Thank you. I do have the piercing blue eyes.
He does.
A rare Mexican with blue eyes, but I'll take it. You know what's crazy though, Mike? My grandfather, my mom, and my daughter all have blue eyes.
Wow, yeah. So
and apparently that happens a lot, so it's not only that's super uncommon. But I was on the way home from the gym, and I just had it on random, because I like putting my music on random, and this band popped up, and it reminded me of this song, one of my favorite songs, and it's by a band from Germany. It's a one-man project called Cold World. And Levi, you brought up independent filmmaking, and one of the things I love in the short film format with independent film is what I love about the metal music too, is when you can have someone who can, in their bedroom with their instruments and the recorder, create what I think his album's a masterpiece actually, and the band's called Cold World, all one word. The album is called Autumn. And the song is called Womb of Emptiness. And it's definitely black metal, but it's not as harsh as you're probably thinking if you listen to some of the other stuff I picked over the years. It's a very, very melancholic, sad song. And it's one of those songs that I love to death, but I don't want to listen to if I'm in the wrong mindset, because it just brings out all the feels. And which is good. That's what sometimes good media does. Mm-hmm. So check this band out. I love everything they've done. Like, they're one of my favorite bands. Cold World, Autumn, song is Womb of Emptiness. And my goal is this week to actually update our playlist. So if you guys are on Apple Music or Spotify, you can find our Dads from the Crypt playlist and follow. And I add everything I can on there. It's probably about 2 months behind, but I'll do my best.
Thank you, Mondo.
You're welcome, Jason.
One thing in the episode we talked about very briefly, but I want to talk about again, might be the only like funny, tragic part is when they're having sex, and they show it as in they're like really into it, really passionate, and then it cuts to the reality that they are having sex, but they're just both kind of lying there, and they're both like reliving past sexual experiences together. You know, like, that's
they don't show us what Fee's seeing, right?
So what?
They don't show us what Fionn is seeing, right? or do they?
I don't know.
So she could be watching. Yeah, she could be watching a totally. Right. Like, no, he's watching her. Recalling her. She might be recalling. Who knows?
But, yeah, that was dark to me. So I didn't know if that. I didn't know if I had skipped something or what. But yeah.
So. Jason thought it was funny, and Levi's, that was fucked up, dude. Like, why do you think that's funny?
Yeah.
In a dark way. But
like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What are the fucked up ways people would use this technology?
Every week, we learn so much more about Jason. It's just...
All right. Joey's not here for horror news, but two things I do want to point out is that the sequel to 28 Days Later and 28 Months Later... looks like it's in the production now. It's gonna be called 28 Years Later, and Cillian Murphy is on as a producer. He may star in it. They haven't said anything about that yet, but I freaking love 28 Days Later. I like 28 Months Later quite a bit, but the first one I thought is a amazing, amazing movie.
I've never seen either of them.
Really?
I rented 28 Days Later back in the day from Netflix, back when you had to get your DVDs mailed in. You know what? I was an early adopter of Netflix. I should have fucking bought stock. Like, I'd be retired now.
Mondo, your assignment is to watch 28 Days Later.
Yeah, back. No, it's on my list for sure. What it is in the beginning, the shaky cam. Like, I don't like shaky cam. And I know everyone tells me, once you get past that, it gets better. Now I probably appreciate it more, but at the time I turned it off because of the shaky cam, I'm not gonna lie. But I definitely know it's not an issue with the film, it's an issue with me and my brain. I need to watch it again.
Give it a try, because I think it's probably
it's been on my list. And our good friend Whitney does the Oh My Horror challenge to watch a new horror movie every week with a theme. So I'm trying to pick a week where that's gonna fit in.
All right, we'll report
not
back
this week.
This week is Hammer Horror, and hell, I'm super excited because shout out to our fun Aunt Whitney. And I was gonna watch Dracula Rises from the Grave because I've had it forever and haven't watched it, but I can't remember people were talking about. Was it you talking about the Gorgon? No,
I wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't me either. Yeah, but I saw somebody was talking about the Gorgon. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I've never seen it, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm sold. That's what I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the other one is, again, that this is more of a tease. It's not quite official, but that they're doing a remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm kind of into that. Like, if you get someone like up for the John Waters school of filmmaking.
Yeah. Can I rant about remakes for a second here, real fast? Well, is that okay? I think that the problem is we keep trying to remake these iconic movies and iconic franchises when there are a lot of movies out there that had a really great idea and terrible execution. That's what we should be remaking.
Yeah, no,
we shouldn't be fucking remaking RoboCop. We shouldn't be remaking Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. We should be remaking Howard the Duck. Like, that's the shit we should be remaking, because I think you can really go a lot of different directions. Like, everyone's seen that movie where they're like, man, if this movie was 30 minutes shorter and did this, this, and this, it'd be great. And we have an opportunity to do that. So those are the properties we should be remaking.
Well, I totally agree with you.
Oh yeah, no, I 100%.
My thinking on this though is that it's actually it might be more beloved for a very select group of a very select generation. That was kind of a cult hit.
That's the piece though. They're trying to make money off nostalgia.
Right.
As opposed to, and I get it. Don't get me wrong. Because at the end of the day, the film industry is a business. And if you don't make money, you don't keep the lights on. I get it. I'm not knocking that. But I do think there's a whole untapped potential to remake some of these movies again with the amount of shitty Lovecraft movies out there.
tell me about it, man.
Dude, there's
as a huge Lovecraft nerd, slim pickings out there. Like, it really is, you know.
Have you ever seen
Stuart Gordon, and that's it, you know, from Roger Corman. But
did you ever see the Call of Cthulhu silent film? That's what I really liked. But again, it's an independent labor of love. That was so like you. I enjoyed it basically what they did with no budget.
Right. That was the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, I think, that did that. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And they also did Haunter in the Dark, I think, too.
I have both those on DVD. I think I have that. No, I don't have that. I have the Call of Cthulhu on DVD, and it came with a newspaper, a fake newspaper, of what was happening.
So awesome.
Have you seen the meme? It came out a while ago when J.K. Rowling was going through her fucking, she's not a good person. And it said like something like, Harry Potter fans, can't we just enjoy the media and not think of the author's indiscretions? H.P. Lovecraft fan, nope, you have to live with that.
Yeah. You got to wear that shame on your shoulders. Oh, man.
I mean, I love Lovecraft, because that was one of, Lovecraft and Stephen King are my introductions into horror fiction.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you get older and realize how much of a xenophobe he was, and you read some of his stuff, it's all about the unknowing horror, and it's like, oh, it all kind of ties in together, but it makes for great content. But yeah, there's just so much good. There's so many good. Right now, if I ever become a billionaire, I'm just gonna call Guillermo del Toro and be like, let's make fucking At the Mountains of Madness.
Dude, do it. Oh my god. The concept photos for that were incredible. I don't know if you saw that. Like last year they finally released like concept art. It was incredible. Oh my god.
I almost wish it never got released because
me too. It just made it worse. I was like, there it is. It's right there. It's right there.
We talked about it before. One of my favorite Lovecraft it's not even an adaptation, it's inspired by, is the latest Batman. It was a Batman graphic novel and then turned into a film, The Doom Over Gotham.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really cool too. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, I love that the Lovecraft's reach like just keeps exceeding where, I mean, if he knew how popular he was going to end up being, like he died poor, you know, and there's a podcast called Voluminous. That's the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society's podcast where they read his letters and then talk about them. Mm-hmm. And so you get really a lot of his personality. And what's funny is like none of his circle thought the way he did. Every one of them would like call him out on his xenophobic tendencies. And like you get to a point where you're reading his stuff and you're like, come on, Howard. Like seriously, like he's so like open-minded when it came to cosmicism, but so short-sighted when it came to the human experience, you know? And so, but you know, he wrote some really great stuff that's undeniable. So,
I mean, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in an afterlife, but if there is an afterlife, I'm going to hunt down H.P. Lovecraft. And all I want him to say is be like, dude, I was a jerk. I was wrong.
I was wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I want the H.P. Lovecraft redemption arc in my afterlife.
Me too. Somebody make that graphic novel or something.
There's a book by an author, Edward Lee, who does a lot. He's funny. He does a lot of heavy splatter punk, I guess splatter gore. He's one of the few authors that has made my stomach turn. Like with some of the terms he uses, I'm like, oh, that's gross. He does something called Lucifer's Lottery, where it's every year one person in the world gets to go to hell. And if they choose to accept what they're given the life of luxury in hell, the palace with everything. And the tour guide is H.P. Lovecraft. And Edward Lee is also a huge H.P. Lovecraft nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really well done the way they did it. And he even did a book. It was a book with him, Jack Ketchum, who passed away a few years ago, my favorite authors of all time. And I think Brian Keene, I can't remember the third one, but they were all were given just like, this is your writing prompt and go from there. And I won't spoil it because I think if you like Lovecraft, I'll send it to you if you want to read it. It's it's fantastic, but it out of nowhere shifts into Lovecraft territory to where it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it again. It was so good.
Okay, yeah, send that to me, man.
Gross as Edward Lee is, man, he is a good writer. And in some of his books, he almost does the M. Night Shyamalan thing where you can tell a character is based off himself. Where he's talking about literary.
King does that too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to the self-masturbatory point of N.I. Shyamalan, but that's another podcast.
I'm not gonna let's go off on a Shyamalan tangent. All right. Speaking of other unknowable horrors, we're going to talk about the terms the kids are using these days in our Out of Touch Dad segment. Last weekend, my wife went, she chaperoned a trip with teenagers. So she was inundated in their culture. And she came back with a term I've never heard of called it's giving. Where, like, it's giving sadness. So you can see this episode while you're watching it. It's giving sadness or it's giving vibes.
Okay.
She said,
well, okay,
Like, you know, they're going to breakfast, like, it's giving hunger.
Like, dude, it sounds so dirty.
I'm not gonna lie. It kind of does. Like, yeah, it really...
We don't know what it is, but...
I mean, cap sounds dirty, you know, but... I don't know, but yeah.
I think it's just like the way it's like, was it Newspeak? It's like the next version of Newspeak where it's just like an even shorter hand way to say something in fewer words.
Well, Jason, you start us off. What do you think this means?
Like, as I'm saying, it's like just like a shorthand. It's just like, I'm not even going to say what the subject is. I'm just going to say it's giving.
Is it like my thought would be I've heard the term, it gives off these vibes. Like, I fucking hate when people have signs that say good vibes only. It's like, fuck you. Like, people can be upset if they want to be upset. So I look at it as like that, like giving, like, well, I don't know. That shirt is giving. That shirt's giving off good vibes. That shirt's giving off whatever.
But you don't see the thing. You just say it's giving vibes. You don't say that shirt is.
Well, that's what you just said, though. You just said, though, that shirt is giving.
Well, no,
isn't that what you said?
You could look at a shirt and then say to that person, it's giving vibe.
Okay, I'm super confused. I'm old. I'm super confused. And, Jason's in his 50s and he knows this better than I do, apparently.
why are you perpetuating this?
I started with it and we're just going to keep rolling with it.
Yeah, somehow I've aged 7 years in the last couple of weeks.
Topic. I used to work with this guy. His name was Guy when I worked at Kmart when I was 16. And Guy was like in his 30s, but looked old as fuck. He would tell people he was 60 just so they'd be like, oh, man. Good for 60.
Mono, just because
I know those dudes.
Mono, just because I've had like a toenail removed and a filling in like the 2 weeks since my last birthday does not mean I'm 50 already.
Hey, man, I don't know. Ever once I hit 40, and then I got diabetes. So don't fucking tell me about this shit.
Man, dude.
So use giving in a sentence one more time, Jason, so I can make sure I know what I'm talking about.
So like, so it's usually like, okay, after watching this episode, I could go on the podcast and say it's giving sadness.
Yeah. So it's giving blank. It's giving off this vibe or this, yeah, this.
You don't say what it is. You just say it's giving.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. So I had the idea right, but the terminology wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Levi, you have it pulled up, so
I couldn't ever go to high school.
Pulled up. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's see.
What does the internet say of this?
Let's see. Sorry. Boing. The internet says giving is used to describe someone or something's appearance, aura, or vibe. Over time, the phrase it's giving became more popular and is now used in mainstream slang to describe a situation or experience that is particularly intense, dramatic, or over the top. That's what the internet says.
Does it give like an example?
Look, I could say the Sylvester Stallone film Over the Top was giving. Hmm?
No.
Okay.
You're not supposed to say what it is that's giving. You're supposed to say, yeah, I know, it's like mind bending.
What is language anymore?
What are words?
Yeah, there's not a sentence where it's not used right here or anything like that. But
it's giving frustration.
Right. This is totally giving frustration. No, that would probably be the way to do it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I found another one on Urban Dictionary because I can't get off. I don't understand this. So what I hate about Urban Dictionary is the first definition of this came out. Oh, sorry, I thought it was 2011. I was like, what the fuck is it? This word that old? It's giving. Only bad bitches use this slang. It almost has the same sense than periodita, or for the baddest out here, per. What the fuck? I have no idea. Per. I know these words. Used in a sentence, and I don't even want to call this a sentence. It says, bestie tells a story. And then you respond with, per, it's giving pretty much UGG vibes. What the fuck? You're in your 20s as the youngest person on this podcast. What is happening?
I'm 36, so No. When I was in my 20s, I was insecure. That was a while ago. Now,
are you just officially the worst? Like, holy shit, you look good for 36.
People tell me, you know, I don't know. I think that the trick is to still be a kid at heart. You know, it's how I still look young. No, I turned 37 Friday, actually. So.
Oh, happy birthday. Yeah.
37. Thanks, man. In a row?
37 years in a row, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Can't believe
happy
I made birthday. It.
Thanks, Levi, man. Wait, Levi, do you get that reference?
No, I don't, actually. No, no.
I'm going to read the second definition that was a week before the first definition, which makes more sense to my brain. And it says, used to define an action that's really unique or amazing, like when you're impressed with something you do. And the sentence is, does something to impress, if you do something to impress somebody, like let's say you juggle, and the person says, oh, that's giving.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know. Like, it's, man, like, I'm not going to knock, because I'm sure our fucking parents, not my parents, they're too busy on drugs, but most parents probably hated our lingo when we were growing up. So it's, you know, just I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds here. I do that enough.
What I heard tonight is that Mana thought I was 50 and he thought Levi was 20. So you're a terrible judge.
I don't think you're 50, Jason. I know you're in your 50s. Like, it's. No, Levi earlier mentioned his 20s, and I was like, oh, that sounds about right. Like, he looks good. You look great for your age. You're turning 37. Like, keep doing
thanks,
that.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah.
You know, right. I walk around looking like a crusty old fuck. What are you going to do?
You look great, Mondo. It's those blue eyes, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. Saying,
if you want to be pretty, don't do jujitsu, because, man, my face gets fucked up. Like, I have ghee burn on the side of my face, and it's brutal. Like, almost a black eye there. It's all good.
All right. Let's go into our Patreon pits. Okay. I asked the question, would you want to be able to remember every moment of your life?
Fuck no.
In what ways would that be a good thing? And one thing we didn't mention in the episode is that the baby also has one of these implanted. So they could, like, rewatch everything that happened with the babysitter. I'm like...
Yeah, that's ethical. Yeah, I forgot to mention that when these people suck, but yeah.
All right. Our Patreon and friend Janet said, I'm the kind of person that dwells on most of my bad memories anyways. I don't think I'd notice a difference. And then our good friend Alyssa said, I have too many traumas. No thanks. Yeah. Like, again, I think it'd be cool to be able to recall certain things that happened. Like, you know, you see a rainbow or something unexpected. It'd be really cool to be able to have that memory or, you know.
But imagine you like.
Every single memory at your disposal would be infuriating.
Fuck. Imagine you shit your pants on the bus on a field trip when you're like 7 and that's all you can think about before you go to bed. Like, fuck that. Like, I'm okay.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but it also begs the question, like, you know, for traumatic events, we're already reliving it, like, in our own brains and our different, you know, and memories change and everything over time, but we're still kind of, like, redoing them.
The one advantage, the one positive thing I would say is, like, as someone also deals with anxiety and deals with depression, is I think sometimes your brain turns something into a bigger deal than it is, and it's just the reality of it, right? And I think that would be maybe the positive is being able to, if you did go through therapy, being able to maybe look at that memory with your therapist and dissect it in a very positive manner. That might be one of the things. But the one thing in this episode, though, is they could erase their memories.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be erasing that. For the record, I did not shit my pants on a field trip in all 7. But if I did, I'd be erasing that fucking memory. Maybe I did and I erased it. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things about implanting memories. Yeah, it's memory's a weird thing, man. It's a weird thing. All right, and that brings us to dad advice.
I think this whole episode is dad advice, right?
You know, it's like, talk to your partner, but like in a respectful, calm way, and like try to have empathy towards your partner. Like try to see things from their point of view and like be appropriate. Yeah, like he does. Like every decision he makes is pretty much the example of what not to do.
Jason says this, but allow me to read a message from Jason. Hey, dickhead, is that fucking episode coming out today or what? Question mark. Sad face. Oh, it would have been better if I had my phone up for effect. Like when I was just pretending to read my phone. I'm just kidding. That's just how 50-year-old people talk to us younger.
You're all a bunch of dickheads. Jackasses. Wanda, are you gonna reenact? Are you gonna react to 37 scene for Levi from Clerks?
Am I going to? We could reenact it. Who do you want to be in the scene?
Okay, I can be Veronica if you find a script.
Oh, it's from Clerks. Yeah, I should know this. I don't though. I have to admit that.
Well, Jason, how many dicks have you sucked?
37.
In a row?
Y'all.
It's okay because Randall put it in perspective for me. He said at least he wasn't 38.
I mean, speaking of memories, I think when we enjoy movies, memories have so much to do with it. You know, how we're feeling at the moment, how it made us feel. I remember the first time I saw Clerks, I was really pissed off about something. I was like an angsty teenager day. I went to my friend's house. I was just in a really shitty mood. He's like, oh yeah, I got this movie. You should watch it called Clerks. I'm like, whatever, fuck it. And I don't think I ever laughed so hard in my life.
It's, Clerks came out in what, 93?
I don't know, 94, 93, somewhere around there.
So you're already in your 20s. So you weren't a teenager.
God damn it. Actually, I have I haven't really talked about this or posted about it. I traded someone a thing for who is like a friend of Kevin Smith or like associated with one of his many, many podcasts. And he sent me a autographed copy of Clerks that Kevin Smith signed.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. That's cool.
Did you see the new DVD or Blu-ray or 4K box set that came out with Clerks? And the box set is actually shaped like fucking the Quick Stop.
Yeah, that's what
it's pretty awesome. Badass.
That's cool.
Now we're really dating ourselves with our adoration of Clerks.
Kevin Smith. We do need to have a Kevin Smith spinoff.
No.
Yeah, every time I do watch it, I'm like, okay, it's not. Dude, it's a little rougher than I remember.
Yeah, but you want to know what, though? Again, he wrote that when he was young, right? Yeah. And the damning stuff of Kevin Smith is that fucking segment he did for that Holidays film. And yoga hosers
or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's doing, but especially now he's just doing what he wants and he's having fun and I can appreciate that.
And dude's lost like 200 pounds, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
And good for, well, ironic, good on Jason Mewes too for, and getting clean. And, there's a, actually he's in a really cool movie called Method to the Madness where he's trying to be a method actor. And he's going to all these people, and for some reason, he meets Dean Cain from Superman fame at a restaurant, and Dean Cain's in a full, like, disguise. He's like, what are you doing? He goes, everyone always recognizes me. He's like, no one knows who you are anymore. You're Dean Cain. It's surprisingly really good. What's that?
Can you do, like, a country album or something afterwards?
Dean Cain? I have no fucking idea. Why would I know that? I mean, that does seem like something I would know, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Country, urban metal album, you would know about it.
Country urban metal,
like folk metal is what I meant to say.
You're just making stuff up now.
That's what we do when you're 50, so you make shit up.
Well, hold on. Dean Cain, country record, country singer. Actor Dean Cain, former fiance. He was married to Mindy McCready, who's a country music singer.
Okay, maybe that's why. Yeah. There was something in there. All right. Well, I think that wraps up another episode. Levi, thank you for joining us. Tell people where they can find you. Remind them of the name of your short film on YouTube.
The name is Madness Within. You can find it at Nowhere Now Productions on YouTube. We're also Nowhere Now Productions on Instagram. If you're interested in donating to future projects, we would include you as a producer in the credits. Just hit us up on our Instagram for that. Also, I have a podcast called Well Adjusted Horror. We're also on Instagram, Threads, X, and Blue Sky as well. So.
Oh, and I totally forgot. I put a thing on our Instagram asking for dad advice questions.
Oh, dude, no. So I looked at that, man. I'm disappointed.
No, we had a couple.
Did we? Yeah. I totally just missed it. I might have just missed it.
All right.
Well, quick, rapid fire these fuckers off.
We got two. Okay. NPW Ilver says, how do you housebreak a strong-willed, high-energy little monster? She's also a huge fan of Cryptkeeper and asks to watch Tales from the Cryptkeeper every night and wants to listen to the Cryptkeeper jam every time you're in the car. I say... Don't do keep doing what you're doing.
What, what does housebreak mean? Like, does a kid like just walk around and pee on the floor? I'm
confused. I just think whatever you're doing, you're doing it well. So,
yeah,
I think he means like, how do you potty train? I don't know. Yeah. I got lucky, man. I have one kid, and when she was little and we first showed her the potty, she's like, cool, I'm just doing this now. She hated having a wet diaper. So it was easy. I had no
idea. You're like, okay.
my child was so easy. It's like, why the fuck would I ever have a second one? The first one was so easy.
That's awesome.
We tried to do like this cold turkey thing where you pick a weekend and then like... You just don't really go anywhere. You just kind of stay in the house. And then whenever they tell you have to go potty, you immediately take them to the bathroom. It didn't go well. It was kind of a nightmare.
Was like that was pretty much my first weekend when they put me on metformin. I couldn't leave the house. At any moment, I was like, I have 30 seconds to get to the bathroom.
I say just let them watch more Tales from the Crypt. It'll fix whatever's wrong. Any issue with your kids, Tales from the Crypt will do it for you. Or Tales from the Crypt.
I think it's cool. I think it's really cool that she likes the Crypt Keeper and likes the Tales from the Crypt. That's pretty awesome. Like I think it's really endearing when, especially like, obviously if you listen to us, you're probably a horror fan. I think it's really cool though. When the kids just pick up on that and kind of fall in love with it.
Yeah. All right. And then I Heart Blood and Guts says, how do you act when they are just outright foul, little soulless, mean, little angry, nasty, nasty at you? I want you to get this fuck where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground. I want to go there in the middle of the night, and I want to piss on his ashes.
What?
Vile towards you. By the way, I have a beautiful 3-year-old princess.
All right, I Heart Blood and Guts, you are my hero. I would say what you should start doing is going to therapy. That's fucking brutal, dude. Like, damn. But I respect it.
I think here's the thing. Kids are savages. They give no fucks. They'll say and do whatever they want, whenever they want. They are pure ego. And they don't know any better, and it fucking sucks sometimes.
I don't know, dude. My kid's 21, man. So we have cool conversation. Like, we went out to a bar. I took her out to dinner the other week. My wife's out of town, and she was actually upset they didn't card her at the bar when she ordered the drink.
Nice.
So it's a little bit different, but man, when they're that young, they're going to be a pain in the ass, and it's cool. Like I look back on those days fondly, and like even the stuff where I was like, if I didn't love you right now, I would burn this entire fucking house to the ground. I look back on those very fondly and with a lot of nostalgia for them. Cause man, enjoy these moments. They don't last forever.
Yeah. So your kid goes, where did all your hair go?
Valid question. Where did it go, Jason?
It's almost fell into my face.
You just can't see where it's starting to go. But
Oh boy. All right.
If I had long hair, I could hide it more, but I couldn't deal with long. No offense, I couldn't deal with the long hair anymore. Mine is almost down to my ass at one point, and then when I started doing jujitsu, I had it tied up in a big bun. So eventually, it was always getting like pieces torn out. So I was like, just cut it all off.
Oh. This is the longest I've had mine for a long time. So yeah, it's getting annoying, but I like it. Thanks, guys.
The shitty part about long hair, and any of our female listeners can relate to this, is that you have to like plan when you're going to wash it, because if you know you're going someplace and you're going to get like, I went to Korean barbecue the other day and like I almost had to burn my shirt afterwards. And I love Korean barbecue, but it smelled like smoke, and your hair picks up all of that. So you have to be like, oh, well, Wednesday I'm going to Korean barbecue, so I have to wash my hair on Wednesday. But you can't wash it every day because it dries it out when it's long.
Yeah,
I don't have
that. No, yeah, you're. You're supposed to have, like, I've read so many different ways to do it, you know, whatever, but I do know that, like, washing it with shampoo every day is terrible for it, so, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some people are like, don't use shampoo at all, some people are like, use this, and, yeah, it's different for everyone, I guess.
I've never heard don't use shampoo at all, because, like, how else, Jason, what's your hair routine?
What?
He ignored it. He just fucking ignored that question.
Yeah. No, there's people. I've read that people are like, shampoo's a scam. It damages your hair. You should just run water through it. And I'm like, that can't be good.
At this point, I'm more about scalp maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a flaky scalp, so I'm a Head and Shoulders guy.
Yeah.
And you would
sure.
Think
yeah.
I have dandruff because it works.
It does work. Okay. Yeah.
You wake right. Over there, Jason, while you're getting tired.
Yeah, no, I was trying to. One of the kids said something to my wife that was like really funny, but like in the mean way. I'm trying to like figure it out. So I'm trying to text with her to figure out what it is.
Are you willing to say what they said to her?
No, if I could remember. But, okay. But I'm trying to text her, and we're not. She can't remember what it is either. But
I'll leave you with one fun quip. Is years ago, and this is probably 2010 or so. My daughter was young, like 10 years old or so, or 11 or 12. I don't remember, because I raised a cynic. I really did. I'm sorry, child. But when I came home one day, and my wife and daughter were watching MasterChef Junior. And so I sat down for a minute. I'm like, you're 11, 12, whatever. How come you can't cook like that? And she looks at me and she goes, you're in your 30s. How come you can't cook like that? I was like, you fucking got me. Like, I laughed so hard. I was like, touche. Like, I'm raising you right.
Is that a moment as a father when you know your child is at the point where they can cut back at you really quickly and get you? Like, is that like a moment where you're almost proud, you know?
No, you're definitely proud. You're definitely proud. Like, there's definitely some things that there's some lines you can cross. Don't get me wrong. My child has never crossed a line. But like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm sure, like, no offense, Jason, but I'm sure like, if your child gave you shit about your baldness, like, that'd be a line you probably shouldn't cross. There's some cutting things, but it's pretty proud. Now we just joke about, we probably joke way too much about suicide. I'm just saying that. So it's escalated over the years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as much of this episode is giving fun, it's time to wrap up. Next week, I don't know entirely sure what we're going to do. Me and Mondo need to talk about that. So Mondo, stay on for a few minutes.
Jason's tired. It's past his bedtime. He needs his, the nursing home has to give him his warm milk and medication.
It's way past my bedtime. So
yeah,
I need to be up for the early bird special.
Levi, thank you so much for coming on, man. I know it's like, it's, dude, it, right now it's 11:30 where you're at. That's way past my bedtime.
Yeah, dude. It's like 2.5 hours past my bedtime, but that's okay. I would totally do this again for you guys. Thanks again for having me.
Dude, thank you so much, man. It's great.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We appreciate everyone for listening. We would appreciate it if you would give us a rating or review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify. Check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. And check us out on the TikToks under Dads from the Crypt Talk. And with that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you ask for. You may get it. Ha 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 ha!